Everyone, I'm Harold Fisher. We're discussing the Women's March on Washington. We're previewing the event, which is coming up on Saturday, January 21st. That is the day after the inauguration. It will be held on the Ellipse here in Washington, D.C. My guests are Dr. Ife Williams. She is president and CEO of the National Congress of Black Women Incorporated. Reverend Kaji Dosha, pastor of the Park Avenue Christian Church in New York City. And Melanie Campbell, national convener of the Black Women's Roundtable. Lines are still open. If you can't get through, please keep calling. I promise I will take your phone calls at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We were talking to Sugar from D.C. before the break. Sugar, finish your point, please. Sugar,
what I was saying earlier is, well, the bottom line is this. This is just the way I feel about it. You know, the Ladies' March is a beautiful thing. You know, it's about time that we finally be recognized, you know, to unionize together. Some of this is not all political, but it's part of us unionizing together. I find that a lot of ladies, you know, have a lot of hostility towards one another, and what they need to do out of those hostility, ladies, towards one another is stop being on your personal level and start unionizing together and love one another in order for us to be recognized together as one. We cannot be recognized when there's so much personal hostility like jealousy, you know, feeling like you got to outdo the other in certain things, or, you know, just, you know, the bottom line is when we learn how to unionize to one another and not have it on a personal level, but the type of personal level that's saying, look, we're going to look after each other here.
Well, let me see if Reverend Dosha, because she started to respond to what you were saying earlier. Reverend, please.
I just want to thank Sister Sugar for her point, because I think that this is one that we hear quite a bit from people who are wondering what kind of moment we're entering right now as a country.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that I disagree fundamentally that we should just let him do what he has promised, because lives are at stake. If he does what he's promised, then we're going to wind up with a wall to Mexico. We're going to wind up losing health insurance or not. I can't quite tell which one. We're going to wind up with a tax system that is so regressive that there won't be enough money to fund our country and what we need. What will happen to health benefits? What will happen to, you know, food stamps? What's going to happen to our education system? What's going to happen to our housing system? I don't understand any of that. If we let him do what he's promised, this country will be a disaster.
I think you're talking about really holding him accountable, as it is always suggested that we hold all of our elected officials,
you know,
accountable.
Too often we wait until something happens to us before we get involved. This is an effort to make sure that Mr. Trump and his administration will understand what it is that women are seeking. I don't think we would be against him. If he came out tomorrow and said, I support the Equal Rights Amendment, we'd be cheering him on. We'll be cheering him on wherever he is in terms of the things that women say that we need. We don't think we need all of those men that we've seen, the nominees, telling us what we should do with our bodies, for example. We don't need them to tell us that we don't need to be paid equal to what a man is paid for doing the same job. We don't need them to tell us that we want to be respected. I mean, there are just so many things that we can agree on. If he comes out tomorrow, or anyone in his cabinet, and say the things that we're going to be talking about on Saturday, we'll be cheering the fact that they've said that that's what they're going to do.
Okay, but Sugar, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Before I go back to the phone lines, a question for Melanie. What is your opinion, Melanie, about the lack of gender diversity in his cabinet picks? We are only looking at two right now, one for labor and one for education. Does it give you pause?
Yes, it does, because there's not an African-American woman in the cabinet. There's not a Latina in the cabinet. And the United States of America is a diverse country. One of the things that I wanted to make sure I just kind of to clarify with one of your last callers, sister is like, totally agree. We have unity principles, right? The march, if people go to the website, if it's okay to let folks know, if they go to womensmarch.com and they can really see what the march is about. It's a march for unity. It's a march for affirming our rights no matter who gets elected. It's not a march against anybody. It's to send a message to the president-elect, to send a message to Congress, to send a message to state and local government that women are coming together to push for the issues. Because when women, well, what was the saying that our current president says? It would, you know, when women succeed, America succeeds. That's the truth. And so it's an affirmation, but it's also a reality that the response that triggered this march has a lot to do with the level of hatred and level of attack on women. Words matter, and our young people and our children are watching to see what we're going to do in this moment. We're in a critical moment.
Go ahead, Dr. Williams.
I like to put it in a simple way, but saying the same thing that Melanie is saying. A woman can no more be partly equal than she can be partly pregnant. And so that's what this march is about. We're either equal or we're not. And so we are working to say that it's time for us to be in the Constitution. There is nothing in the United States Constitution that that says we are equal and we should be treated with some, you know, sense of equality. Mr. Scalia, before he passed away, bless his heart, you know, said that he's not sure that we have to have equality. Well, that's not for him to say. This march is about women saying what our needs are and what we must have. And we are, as the sister before talked about, that we should be united. That's what we're doing. We're coming together to be united on those common causes and issues that we have.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Courtney, calling from Columbia, Maryland. Courtney, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, thank you. Good evening. I was just calling. I'm calling because I was wondering why the march is scheduled for the day after the inauguration instead of having it prior to.
Melanie?
It says, why was it happen prior to? My understanding, just to be able to pick up on the opportunity and the timing that it takes to pull something like this off, it's really phenomenal what the organizers were able to do in such a short period of time. But this is a march of great magnitude and numbers, but also that the time is a good time. I think it's a very good time to have it. Right after, to really elevate our issues at a critical moment in history.
Okay. Courtney, thank you so much for your phone call. Renee, calling from Northern Virginia. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, good evening.
Hi.
I'm participating in a march, and I just wanted to comment briefly on what the prior caller said in regards to giving the incoming president an opportunity to do something. I think that you can't just sit and wait. You have to be an engaged citizen. And being a woman, being in this country, we've seen a good deal from his mouth, from his own behavior, how he sees women, how he views women, even with the gentleman that he's picked to lead the country along with him, all have a history of, you know, not necessarily thinking that women of color maybe matter that much, and just women in general. So I think it's really important to not just be on the sideline waiting and seeing. We've done that. We've seen. He's shown us a good deal about how he sees us, how he disrespects women, and what's important. It's about power, and I think that everyone should really be concerned and alarmed, and I think that this is a good way for us to become engaged and involved right off the bat. And so if we need to come together again, however often we need to, we will then know how to.
Let me piggyback on that. Renee kind of stole my thunder, and I'm glad that she did. No one on my panel, I am assuming, voted for Donald Trump. So this may be a difficult question for you to answer. But if you could at least take off the political hat and really just talk about, you know, from your own perspectives, the mind of a woman, because for me as a man, I don't get it. And this is my point. When you have someone who's running for the highest office and he's the women's body grabber, and he, as Renee has suggested, that he has said these things that are at best untoward and you know, semi-profane about women, how do you balance those things or how does a woman balance those things with the broader political issues that put him in office? Reverend Dosha, I'll start with you. How did that work?
Well, we don't try to make that balance. I think that's part of what's so important is that we're coming together because many women find that the way we get through our day is that we call on our girls. We show up together and we show up to support each other.
But see, a lot of women voted for him, though.
Right. And part of what the work that we have to do with our sisters who don't know how to vote in their own self-interests or whose self-interests feel that they are so tantamount to, you know, to usurp every other concern that might have shown up, like for the, you know, sanctity of their bodies that should not be touched or for their opportunity to receive the health care that they need and so forth. For some reason, these women didn't see it. And I think there might be, because, you know, I'm showing up not out of any political concerns, but out of Christian conviction. I'm here because I followed Jesus. And Jesus said, blessed are the poor. And if the poor are not being blessed, then my job is to figure out how they should be. Right. So that's why I'm showing up. But I can't lose focus on that. And the only way that I can make it through is with my girls. So my girls are going to be 200,000 women on Saturday.
Dr. Williams, same question. Your thoughts about that. And then I want and I have a more specific question on that point for Melanie. But Dr. Williams, please.
Well, as my sister here said, we already know what the person who will be our president in a few hours. We already know what he has done. We know what he has done that's against what we as Christian and other church women are for. So this is just a coming together to say to him, we are together on the key issues that we've been talking about all the time. We expect these things to be resolved under you and not business as usual with you. You are now the president of the United States. You're not free to say all of that crazy stuff that you were saying during the campaign. And I think we are coming together so that we make a bold statement that we are here. We're going to be watching, but while we're watching, we're also going to be acting. And there are consequences to elections. So if you're going to do those things that you said you're going to do, 2018 will be here before you know it, and you've got to run again, and we will have learned some lessons, because I've already heard many women say they're regretting that they voted for him. They didn't pay close attention to the silly stuff he said while he was campaigning, but they're hearing it now, they're hearing it clearly, and they're hearing it doubly from the people he has nominated to carry out his wishes.
Melanie, as a voter activist, and I'm sure you've had an opportunity to talk to women who have voted for Donald Trump. What have they said when perhaps you've asked them to compare and contrast some of these things that he has said about women with what he has promised to do for the country? How do they balance that?
Well, I have not talked to any women that have admitted to me that they have voted for them. But what I have talked to are my white sisters who have their relatives who voted for them.
Okay.
Right. And one of the things, and there's a lot of, and there's a lot of embarrassment, quite frankly, right? But one of the realities about the women's vote and progressive candidates, it's not the first time that white women have voted for a candidate that was not progressive over right here in Virginia. Terry McAuliffe, the governor of Virginia, won because black women turned out. And white, even though there were candidates that were really speaking very ill of women's rights and women's reproductive rights, they walked into that voting booth and voted for the other person who was speaking against women's rights. Right.
And
when there was an opportunity in Texas to have a woman who was fighting for women's rights in Texas, they voted for the other candidate. So there's a conversation that we need to have with our sisters as we come together in a unifying way. There's some work to do because that glass ceiling that I asked the question because I'm grappling and I asked the honest question when African-Americans had the opportunity, not just because, but also because. We had this opportunity to break a glass ceiling. We elected President Barack Obama twice in 08 and 12. Why is it that white women did not take advantage of that opportunity with a candidate, even though Secretary Clinton had a lot of issues.
Yeah.
One of them that she did have, she was more than qualified to be commander-in-chief and president. And what is it that's going on with white women that you couldn't take that moment?
Melanie, I've got to take a break, and I know that we've got to let you go. But I appreciate you sharing with us, and certainly I want to wish you, you know, all the best on Saturday. And thank you so much for spending some time with us.
And please make sure, I don't know if you heard me when I said for people, if they want logistical information, to go to womensmarch.com and they can get all the logistics information they need.
Thank you so much. Need to take a break when we come back. And thank you, Renee, for calling. When we come back, we're going to talk to Tanya in Suitland and Alan in D.C. 202-319-7810. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. This is the Inside segment, and we're continuing our discussion about the Women's March on Washington happening on Saturday. Let me go back to the phone lines. Alan calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Alan. What's on your mind?
Oh, good evening to your guests. Hello.
Hey, how are you?
I have a comment and a quick question that you kind of touched on as far as logistics. I'm amazed how something like this could come together so quickly. I don't know if you have time, your panelists have time to discuss that. But I plan on being marching on Saturday, and I'm disappointed more men weren't behind this movement, and not that you need men. It's just you need men in order to validate what you're saying. But people need to remember, 8 years ago when a current president took office, there was almost an immediate groundswell against him, the Tea Party. I remember getting caught up in a march. It was less than a month he'd been in office. People were protesting. So this is my way of expressing a disgust with what this man, the incoming president, who and what he represents. And I wish more men, and I've heard talk to some men, complain, but all they do is talk. This is, again, my way of expressing my displeasure. So that's my comment.
Okay. And you said you had a question also?
Oh yeah, the logistics, how something like this was put together. I can really appreciate that since an organized event. I think it's amazing.
I would agree. I think that it really is a testament to, particularly to the co-chairs who've come together, who do have quite a bit of experience in large-scale turnout events, but this is on a different scale. So we really do thank the four co-chairs for their expertise. But I would also just want to respond to your comment about the men, because I think that's very important. My husband will be marching with me tomorrow, not because he wants to be a man on the scene, but he wants to be there because he's standing up for women, too. And someone once said to me, you can always pretend to care, but you can't pretend to show up. So if men want to come, you are welcome. Show up, but don't come for any reason except that you're showing up for women. If it's something else, then that's, you know, that's a different story.
Thank you.
All right, Alan, thank you so much. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Tanya calling from Suitland. Thanks for calling, Tanya. What's on your mind? Tanya, are you there? Give me a call back, Tanya, if you can. What do you expect Dr. Williams to hear from the president-elect tomorrow? Or what would you hope to hear in his inauguration speech?
I would hope that he would have had an opportunity to listen to the women who are going to be speaking on Monday and what we'll be talking about. But since he doesn't have that opportunity, I should hope that his daughter, who seems to be in favor of some of the things we talk about as women, and that she has whispered in his ear that if he really wants to upstage our march on Saturday, that he can talk about how he's going to work to increase the wages for women. Because, as you know, right now, women get only 78-79% on the dollar. Black women get only something like 63-60% on the dollar. And our Latino sisters get even less. And I'm almost embarrassed to say what our Native sisters get on the dollar. So I think if he would listen to that and do a little research and talk about resolving that and how he's going to be calling on us to work with him to work on that, that's one of the key issues about raising that minimum wage. Because right now, while we think of men who have families can't get along on the $7.25 or whatever the minimum wage is, but we seem to think that women can do that. So if he addresses that, I think that would go a long way. And again, as I said, if he says, I support the Equal Rights Amendment, I think women should be in the Constitution, that would certainly go a long way. And there are many other issues which we've talked about earlier. But if he just addresses some of the things we're going to talk about on Monday, and I know he has the staff to have found out what we're going to be talking about, because some of them are his the wives and the girlfriends and the daughters of the people who are in his cabinet. So they should be able to talk with him and advise him.
Reverend Dosha, the same thing. What do you hope to hear tomorrow? Are you going to listen?
First of all, I will not be listening because my spirit can't handle it. But when I read about it later, what I look forward to potentially happening as a miracle, I mean, honestly, I would fall on my knees and praise to Jesus if this happened, is if he stood up and confessed his sins in front of the country. He proclaimed himself to be a Christian. So the kind of Christian I know is always aware of the ways that they are falling short of the glory of God. So if he did that, if you said, you know what, I have been wrong, and the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and I'm going to turn all this around, and I'm going to stand up for the people of this country, especially women, then my fears would be allayed, and I would be happy to help.
What, in your mind, is the next step, or are the next steps, after Saturday?
Well, I think that it can't be a one-day march. It can't be a one day of speaking out. And as you know, we do have these marches around the country for the sisters and others and our supporters who cannot be here. So I would hope that we would continue to go to those state capitals. We'd continue to be at those county meetings and those city meetings, and we'd be driving home the things that we are saying that we want on Saturday. And if we do that, and we keep the people reminded that there is an election that's coming, then I think we'll be okay. But the problem is sometimes we lose interest and we don't continue to be out there talking about what it is we want and what it is we expect. And I think we need to be in the districts of these people who are elected or who are supposed to be working for us, because that's where they understand. They understand votes. They understand the next election. So we have to be there. And we have to be willing, as my sister here has said, to help when they're working on something that is in our best interest. Unfortunately, the word that some of our sisters, our white sisters, are using is that white women betrayed us in the last election. But they not only betrayed us, they betrayed themselves. And this is their opportunity to work even harder and stronger, not only on what they consider their issues, but to help us on our issues, like restoring the Voting Rights Act and talking about things that are going on in our communities. And I hope someone sees that it's time to put some money into the black community to get more black people out to vote, because we know how to vote. We just need to get more of us out there. Right now, they don't put enough money in the black press and other places where we could reach black people to understand why they need to come out and vote, and that every vote does count.
But white women, you just spoke about white women, and obviously there were quite a few that did vote for Donald Trump. Something or some things that he said resonated with them. And certainly, you know, all of us who are participating in this discussion live in or near urban areas. But do you believe that some people forgot about those that lived in the exurbs and the rural communities and places where you don't hear so much, as Donald Trump said, the forgotten people?
I don't subscribe to the notion that we need to pay even more attention from a policy perspective to the needs of white people. I think we do a great job of that already. So I think it really is time to turn inwards within our communities and say, what do they need? So, you know, in response to your question, after we go to the march, then what? Mm-hmm. Then we go back home and we find out what the people organizing are doing. I hope they'll go to church or whatever their faith institution is, because we should all have a plan. Any church right now, any faith synagogue, mosque needs to have a 100-day plan for what their community needs in these first days, because there will be specific lives that are going to be at risk. For example, in my community, the immigrants are very closely at risk, particularly those who are in tenuous positions in terms of their immigration status. And so I have to figure out, as part of a leader of the sanctuary movement, how we are going to live as sanctuary for the people who might be rounded up and deported without due process, for example. This is a major concern for us.
Dr. Williams, I'll let you have the last word. What do you hope comes out of Saturday? And I don't mean what the next move is, but I'm talking about what do you hope the women and the men that participate learn, receive from this march, demonstration, this gathering?
Well, I think that one of the things we need to go away with is something that Dr. Martin Luther King said, and that is the most persistent and urgent question is, what are we doing for others? And if we're thinking about someone other than ourselves, we're thinking about the good of all the people around us in our community, then I think we will have gone a long way in meeting the meaning of the march on Saturday.
Okay. I want to thank both of you, of course, Reverend Kaji Dosha and Dr. Ife Williams for participating. Also, we certainly always like to have Melanie Campbell participating. And for those of you that are interested in finding out more information about the Women's March on Washington, you can find it online at womensmarch.com. Lots of information there. Keeping in mind, they do suggest that, for example, you can buy a Metro card to skip the long lines. Don't do it now. You need to just go on ahead and go to the Metro station. And certainly for those of you that are going to be participating in the inauguration march on tomorrow, remember, driving downtown is not recommended. Public transportation certainly is. And we also want you to stay tuned to WHUR tomorrow. I will be broadcasting throughout the morning and into the early afternoon, hearing from the voices of those who have decided to come to the nation's capital to participate. So again, ladies, thank you so much and good luck on Saturday. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Thursday, January 19th, 2017. I'm Harold Fisher. You can reach me on Twitter at HFisherWHUR or Daily Drum WHUR. Now stay tuned for The Connection with Lorna Newton. Good night.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142,